Acts chapter 17. Look if you would, starting at verse 1. Acts 17:1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That's 3 weeks he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason, having received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your blessings. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the folks that are here this morning, Lord, that treads through snow to come to church, Lord. What a great blessing that is, Lord, and a great testimony. Lord, I just think, thinking here just a few minutes ago, Lord, that the lost people looking out their windows see a church parking lot with cars in it with the snow all over the place. Lord, that's a great testimony to you. And Lord, brings glory to you. And Lord, I'm thankful for those folks that are here today. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those that are unable to be here this morning, Lord, because unable to get out, Lord, or shut in or sick or whatever it may be, Lord. I just pray that you'll minister to them, Lord. Help this church to be a blessing to them. Lord, certainly be a, Lord, I pray that you'll just bless the Bergstrom family, Lord, the Culp family, and be with Holly Willis, Lord, there in Kalispell. Lord, help them to get her straightened out. And Lord, all the folks there on the prayer list, Lord, we lift you up, them up to you this morning. Now, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll be glorified by the message. Lord, that you'll just take away any hindrances from our ears this morning, Lord, and help us to stay focused on you just for a few moments, Lord, as your word is preached. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved this morning, Lord, I pray that they'll not leave here unsaved, Lord. And I pray that everybody will leave here knowing that they have heaven as their home. And as Christians, Lord, help us just to take to heart, Lord, this message. And Lord, I pray this glorifies you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in these verses, we see that Paul had been spending a great deal of time trying to reason with the Jews there in Thessalonica, and he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For 3 days, Paul expanded the Scripture to these folks, trying to convince them that not only had Jesus died and had been buried, but he had arose on the third day, and that Jesus was indeed the Christ. Now, this is a great example to us how that when we reason with people about the Lord, about when it comes to salvation, we must always do it out of Scriptures. Okay, Paul here, when he reasoned with them for 3 weeks, it says he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So in other words, he had the Scriptures right there in his hands, and he's saying, listen, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. And so whenever you're witnessing to somebody, we ought to do it, well, like Paul did it, like they did it in the Bible. What do? We reason with them out of the Scriptures. Why? Because even though what we say has a, it's a good way to get into the conversation, you've heard me say this before, what you say, your words, really have no impact at all as far as a person getting saved. But God's words have all the impact. Amen? It's God's words that's going to get a person saved. And so, again, if you're out there witnessing to somebody, or you intend to witness somebody this week, and certainly I hope that everybody finds somebody this week to witness to one way or the other, the best way to do it is out of the Scriptures. If you do nothing except walk up there and just read them a Scripture, the Bible says that the Word of God does not return to Him void. It has an impact on people. You just give them the Scriptures, it has an impact on people. It'll convict people. I tell you this, I got word, talked to my son last night down in Oklahoma City. And he's my oldest son. And he was talking to me about how he went out door knocking, and he's had a tough couple of weeks. He said that he went out door knocking last week, and a fella answered the door. Now, what I'm going to tell you probably ain't going to get you door knocking anytime soon, but he said a fella answered the door, and he had a gun in his hand. And because it was about 6 o'clock, and he didn't know who it was, and scared him and everything. And my son says, well, the fact he had a gun in his hand didn't really bother him too much. But the fact is, the whole time he was witnessing to him, he continued to hold the gun with his finger on the trigger, pointing down. And he says, I just kept on witnessing, Dad. I just kept on telling the Word of God, and finally I left. I say, amen. But then yesterday he went out witnessing door to door, and he ran across a fellow that was an atheist. And that atheist got very angry and kept on saying, tell me why you believe this and tell me why you believe that. And he just kept on with the Word of God and kept on with the Word of God. And the more Word of God that he gave, the more angry that guy got. Do you know why that is? Because the Word of God convicts. See, he knows deep down that what's being said, what the Word of God, those words penetrate our very soul. That's the reason the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder between soul and spirit, between the flesh and soul and spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, when you give the Word of God to somebody, it penetrates, folks. It goes all the way down to the core. And so when a person is living in sin and a person is not saved, and you give them the Scripture, when you reason to them out of the Scriptures, it's going to have an impact on them. And it may make them mad. But you know what? If they're not mad, they're probably not getting convicted. Amen? So it's a good thing. So here he reasons with them out of the Scriptures. And so when we reason with people and when we're witnessing to them, we reason them out of the Scriptures too. And you say, well, I didn't have a Bible. Then take a tract with you. Amen? Why? It has the Word of God on it. And so that's how we're to do it. Now, Paul said in Romans 1:16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. The gospel is the power. If the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. Give somebody the gospel, and now listen, it's only them believing that gospel will get them saved. It's the only thing. Well, you know, sometimes we're so hard on ourselves. We go out and witness to somebody, and we say, oh, I wonder if I said the right thing. Well, you can't mess up as long as you give them the gospel. Why? Because your words are not the power of salvation, but the gospel is. And like you've heard me say before, a person today rejects Jesus Christ and you walk up to them, they don't get saved. Don't blame yourself. If you gave them, if you reasoned with them out of the gospels, then their blood is no longer on your hands. If you reason with them out of the Gospels and you show them what the Gospel is and you said, listen, you must believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Listen, once you give them that, that is the power unto salvation. And if they say, nope, I'm not going to get saved, don't be too hard on yourself. You know why? Because that's their decision. Well, if I could have said something different, you had no say-so in it. I'll prove it to you. When somebody gets saved, do you have a say-so in it? Can you take the credit for it? No. Why? Because it's the Word of God that saved them. Amen? It's a gospel that, and all of us would say that. Oh, yes, it's not me. I'm just thankful that he got saved. That's right. Well, if you could have no say-so in the person getting saved, what makes you think you have a say-so when they don't? Amen? Just give them the gospel. And you say, I don't know how to witness to somebody. Then walk up to them and say, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And run if you have to, if you get scared. But give them something, amen? Reason with them out of the Scriptures. That's what Paul did here. He reasoned with these people out of the scriptures. Now, it says in verse 4, here in our passage, it says, and some of them in the synagogue believed. Now, that's some of the Jews in that synagogue. The synagogue back in those days, I mean, of course, today too, for the Orthodox Jew, the synagogue is where the Jews meet, the ones who worship, were the Judaizers, the ones who worship the Old Testament, did what the Old Testament law and all those things. They met on Saturday. They still meet on Saturday today. And so here he is, he's preaching to the Jews in the synagogue. Okay? And listen, if he's reasoned with them out of the scriptures, does it make sense that they're lost? Yes. So this is not a church like we're in today. That's not what the synagogue is. What we believe here today is not what they believe in the local synagogue. Same way back then. Okay? They believe that, listen, an Orthodox Jew today doesn't believe that Jesus was ever the Christ. The Bible says that they're blinded to the Old Testament. Hebrews tells you that. It says that they're blinded to the Old Testament. They don't believe Jesus was Christ. They don't believe anything in the New Testament is true at all. And so basically, they're still in the Old Testament in the synagogue. That's the same way it was here. See, Paul knew that Jesus Christ was a Christ. He knew that he had died. He knew that he was buried. He knew he rose again. And listen, it was Jesus that said, Paul, why hast thou kicked against the pricks? So he knew that Jesus Christ had risen. And all the apostles knew that Jesus Christ had risen. And about 500 people knew that Jesus Christ had risen because they had seen him. All right? And so these Jews here didn't believe that. They're inside the synagogue and they're still in the Old Testament. So Paul goes over there and he starts reasoning with them for 3 days out of the scriptures. And it says some of them in the synagogue believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. So here's what happens. He's in Thessalonica. He's witnessing to these people in the synagogue. And after he gets done, some of those Jews in that synagogue believe. Some. But of the Gentiles, many. Many believed. All right? And so evidently, many of these people who had heard the gospel being preached, they believed, and some of the Jews believed, whereas a great multitude of the Greeks believed, and the women, chief women, not a few. And then in verses 5 through 9, we are told that the Jews who believed not became envious. Kind of like that atheist that my son was witnessing to. And they started claiming that Paul was preaching about another king other than Caesar and was breaking Roman law. And they claimed that Paul and those that were with him were turning the world upside down. May I tell you, that's exactly what he was doing. You know why? Because this world thinks they're right side up right now. This world isn't right side up. It's already upside down. And if this whole earth, of course, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Listen, until the Lord comes back, number one, there's not going to be any peace. Okay, why? The Prince of Peace has to be here before there can be peace. Okay? And may I tell you that this world it's wicked, it's upside down in their thinking. Even this country is upside down in its thinking. Amen? But I tell you this, when you have the world saying it's this way, but God says it's this way, the world thinks that they're right, but really they're not right at all. They're upside down. So when Paul starts preaching to Jesus Christ, guess what? They think that he's turned the world upside down. But really he was turning it right side up. And so he's preaching to these people, and they claim that he's turning the world upside down. So these envious Jews decided what they would do is they would go gather a crowd, and they would go get a bunch of people who were envious just like them. A bunch of people who were being convicted just like them. A bunch of people who didn't believe and were angry at Paul just like they were, and go after Paul and those that were associated with him. But when the brethren caught wind of this, they immediately got Paul and Silas out of town and sent them over to the next town in Berea. Now, once Paul and Silas get to Berea, after they're escorted out of Thessalonica before things got too hot, and they get them over into Berea, Paul decides to go down to the First United Synagogue and start preaching there too. Okay? And he preaches there for a little while, and the Bible says in verse 12, it says this. Notice the difference. In that synagogue, it says, it doesn't say some of them believed like it did in Thessalonica. What does it say? Many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So in Berea, there was a little bit of a difference here. You see, in Thessalonica, when he went and preached in the synagogue, some of the Jews believed. But when he goes over to Berea, it says that many of the Jews believed, and many of the Greeks believed also. Now, when these Jews at Thessalonica heard what was going on in Berea, they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it. Now listen, you know, I can just imagine they're at home, they're all happy because we ran Paul out of town. Yes, sir. Don't come around here preaching that stuff in this town. And then all of a sudden they turn on the radio and listen, and there comes across a radio broadcast and says, yes, Paul's over here in Berea and he's preaching the gospel. And many Jews are getting saved. You know what those Thessalonians did, the Jews in Thessalonica? Oh, we can't have any of that. So they get in their cars and they drive all the way over here to Berea and start causing trouble over there too. Because they couldn't, listen, they didn't like him preaching the truth there in Thessalonica, and they weren't going to have him preach truth over here in Berea either. That would be like, you know, somebody here in Great Falls were to start preaching something wrong and we get mad and we run them out of town, and then they go over to Helen and start preaching, and we all load up the car and run them out of there too. That's exactly what these Jews did. They got over to Thessalonica and they started to cause trouble over there. And we're told that again, Paul had to leave because of all the trouble the Jews were causing, all the trouble they had made, and then he was sent to Athens. Now, the question I want you to think about this morning is this. Why do you suppose that there was a difference in how many Jews got saved in Thessalonica compared to how many Jews got saved in Berea? Why did some Jews get saved in Thessalonica while many got saved in Berea? I'll give you the answer. The answer is Scripture. Scripture. Now in this passage we can learn a lot about Bible study. And it's good to read our Bibles. It is. I want to encourage everybody in here to read your Bible through. Again, I'm going to throw it out here just to make you feel guilty. But if you read your Bible 90 minutes a day. That's not too much to ask. That's 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes at night. And you read the average speed of America today. Average speed. And you may be a little slower, maybe a little bit faster. I don't know. But if you read the average speed of all Americans today and you read your Bible 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes at night, you will read your Bible through once a month. 12 times a year. Oh, I don't believe that, Pastor. I tell you what, I'll challenge you then. Just tonight. Sit down and read your Bible for 90 minutes. Or wait, I tell you what, come tomorrow. Read your Bible 45 minutes in the morning. Now, nonstop. Now, I don't mean read, stop, study. I mean just read it 45 minutes straight. Tomorrow night, read 45 minutes straight. And then tell me exactly where you're at when you get done. 90 minutes, you cover a lot of ground, folks. Even if you read slow, you cover a lot of ground in 90 minutes. You will be far past the book of Genesis after the first day. Okay? And so, now, that's a challenge, and I said that to make you, listen, now you know, and you've got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, amen? You're like, thanks, Pastor, great. Well, listen, you know now, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to read your Bible through, amen? I'm not telling you to read it through 12 times a year, but I'm telling you this, just read your Bible. And I'll tell you something else. If you have an opportunity to read it through cover to cover, do it. Because I'll tell you this, you read that thing through cover to cover and you will pick up something new all the time. And it will do nothing but help you. We are to read our Bible. But the Bible says we're also to study our Bible. What does that mean? Well, that means you get a passage and you start comparing Scripture with Scripture. Kind of like we did in Sunday school this morning where we were looking at the word Easter. We are to study our Bible. We're to take what the Word of God says here and compare what it says over there, and we're to study. And I'll tell you something, if you're like me and you start to study that Bible, it doesn't take very long until all of a sudden you find out two things. Number one, there are a lot of great little nuggets in there that just make you just want to click your heels when you get them. Amen? And the other thing is when you start studying your Bible, you're going to find out real quick that we don't know anything. We only think we know something about that Bible. I tell you this, folks, the more I read, the more I study, the more I think to myself, man, I am about done. You know why? Because there's more in that Bible than I'll ever get. There's more in that Bible than I'll ever understand on this side of eternity. And I've met people that thought they had a pretty much had a the cornered the market on the Bible, and they understood everything in there. I haven't met the person that understands everything in that Bible. I've only met the people that think they do. But what was it that made the difference? It was Scripture. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you realize that your King James Bible is the Bible that tells you to study? Study. And listen, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. The Lord's saying, study these words. Why? There's a lot in there for us. We need to study. And I'll tell you this, when you're studying the Word of God, you'll find out that you're able to rightly divide it. But if you won't study it, you won't be able to rightly divide it. And so we're to compare Scripture with Scripture and let the Holy Ghost teach us the Scriptures. Now, God called the Bereans noble here, which means excellent. And He basically gave these people an A+ for their Bible study. And it's because they looked at the Scriptures and read what they had to say that made the difference. That's the reason why many people got saved over here in Berea, where only some got saved over here in Thessalonica. It's what made these Bereans more noble. Now I want you to notice three words here in Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 11. And I'm going to show you what it was about the Scriptures that made the Bereans not only more noble, but resulted in more people getting saved and more people receiving Christ. In Acts chapter 17, look if you would at verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God. They received the word of God. So the first word I want you to concentrate on is received. They received the word of God. One of the differences between the Jews in Thessalonica and the Jews in Berea is that the Jews received the word of God in Berea, but they didn't in Thessalonica. Now, later Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica who was made up primarily of those few Jews that got saved and those many Greeks that got saved. You know, when you read there the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, he's writing to those people, those few Jews that got saved and those Greeks that got saved that when he went through there, and of course, whoever they might have led to the Lord. And he writes there, and here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says this, now these are the people here that got saved, those some Jews that got saved. He says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. Now what does that mean? Well, that means that when he came over there to Thessalonica and he started preaching in that synagogue for 3 weeks and he's reasoning with them out of the Scriptures, and it said some Jews believed and many of the Greeks believed and the chief women, not a few. Those some Jews that believed, those many Greeks that believed, and those chief women, not a few, they all received the Word of God. See, Paul was preaching to them, and there were some that sat there and was like, oh, here we go again. Bible thumper, la 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 la. I don't believe a word you're saying. That's enough. And listen, they heard the Word of God, but they didn't receive it. They heard it, but they didn't receive it. But then there were some that said, wow, I am a sinner. I have come short of the glory of God. I do need a Savior. And what I'm trusting in isn't going to get me to heaven. The only one I can trust and get me to heaven is Jesus Christ. You know what happened? They received Jesus Christ. They received the Word of God. And they didn't receive it as words, man's words. They received it as God's words. May I tell you today, when a person receives Jesus Christ, the gospel that you give them, the power unto salvation, the gospel that you give them, they will either receive it or they will reject it. If they receive it, then they'll get saved. If they reject it, they won't, at least at that time. Now those in Thessalonica, the ones that got saved, received it. But only some of them did. But when you get over to Berea, there was a difference. What? Many of them received it. Many of them did. That's one reason why there were more people got saved in Berea than there was in Thessalonica. Amen? Because more people in Berea received it. In other words, They said, Paul, what you're saying is the words of God. And if God said that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and if God says my son's the only way, then I guess I better receive Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they did. They did. And the Bible says that they were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they received the word of God. Now you say, well, what do I mean when I say he received the word of God? Well, think about it like this. A young man is home, he's at home and he's watching TV, and his dad yells for him to take out the trash. And the young man says, okay, and he just sits there for another hour. I ask you something, did he hear what his dad said? Well, sure. Did he embrace it in his heart? No. He didn't take his dad seriously. He heard what he said, but he didn't receive it. And that, folks, I will tell you, that is the way it's going to be with most of the people that you witness to today. Most of the people that you witness to today will be just like those Thessalonians. They'll be the same ones. They're going to hear what you have to say, and then they're not going to receive it. There's a person in my family right now that I have witnessed to over and over and over and over. And every time I talk to him, I always witness to him. And he will sit there and he will listen to me. He will be quiet. He'll even shake his head. And then when I get done, he immediately changes the subject to something else. And it's like I just got done talking to that wall right there. How many of you know somebody like that? You know what's happened? He hears it. He probably even knows it's true. But he doesn't receive it. He doesn't receive it. He's saying, you almost convinced me to be a Christian, but not quite. Didn't receive it. But these people here, these people in Berea, they received it. You say, how can this be? Because they, listen, the church over there in Thessalonica, I mean, they had their worldview, they had their lifestyle to contend with. They didn't take the word of God seriously, and they never received it. Now, some can come to church for years on end, and the word of God, you know, the word of God will never change their heart, never change their lifestyle, never change their worldview. I've seen people come to church for years and years, but yet they don't ever think anything about the Bible the rest of the week. In other words, they live any way they want to during the week, but they're going to be there at church on Sunday. Oh yes, we'll be there at church because that's where we've always been. We're always there on time for church on Sunday morning. But you know, the preacher will preach on something week in, week out. He'll preach on different subjects, and it seems like it just never changes them at all. Why is that? Because those people, even though they're saved, they're not receiving what's being preached. How many of you understand there are some people today that are saved that when they come to church, they just listen to the preacher say, they listen to what the preacher says, and they're like this. I got things to do. I got to roast in the oven. I've got to be at the lake at 4. I got to be fishing at 6. I got to do all these things. But you know what? They're listening, and it's like the words are being preached, but nobody's listening to what the words are saying. They're not receiving the words that are being preached. Let me ask you something. Do you think that a preacher gets up here and preaches just to hear himself preach? You know why I preach to you folks? Because God called me and said, I want you to be the one to pastor those folks. I want you to be the one to preach to those folks, and you preach my word. Amen. And I'll tell you something, folks, when I get up here, I want you to take the words to heart because they're not my words, they're God's words. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. This morning, if you're here today, it's because God has something for each of you. And you need to listen up. You need to receive the words. They're not my words. They're God's words. And listen, I can't help you out in your spiritual walk, but God can. If you're not saved this morning, I can't save you, but God can. It's my words aren't going to do anything. Now, they may make you mad. They may even make you laugh. But it's not my words that's going to do a continuous work in you. It's the word of God that's going to do a continuous work in you. It's not my opinions that's going to change the way you live your life. It's the word of God telling you to do that. But you have to receive it. And if you don't receive it, you just sit there and just basically just wait for me to finish talking like that family member I have, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. And you're not going to get victory over a lot of things in your life. If you just come to church just to listen, but not receive it, not do anything about it, you say, Pastor, can you tell people receive it or not? No, I really can't. I learned a long time ago is don't put a lot of stake in people's expressions. I don't know if you receive it or not. I pray you do. Because I'll tell you the reason why. If you receive the Word of God that's being preached to you this morning as Christians, I know it will help you spiritually. And I know it will help you to grow. How do I know that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know that the Word of God will help you if you'll receive it. But I'll tell you this, I know that there are some Christians today that come to church and they don't ever receive the Word of God. They'll sit there and listen, but they don't receive a thing. Now, you say, how can this be? Because they never received it in their heart, because they never received the Word of God with faith. Hebrews 4:2 says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Now, these Hebrews here, I always wonder when talking about these Hebrews, that when Paul or whoever the writer of Hebrews says, he says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them." Well, that's the way it was at Thessalonica. He went to the synagogue, he preached to the Jews, and some of them got saved, and many Greeks got saved. But Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." Why didn't it profit them? "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You say, how come they didn't receive it? Because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, there are a lot of Christians today that they believe parts of that Bible, they don't believe other parts of that Bible. I've actually talked to Christians that say, yes, I believe the gospel, absolutely, amen, I'm going to heaven. But you know that whole story over there about Jonah being eaten by a whale? I mean, come on. Hey, listen, folks. It's all true. It's all true. If Jonah isn't true, then you could take that whole Bible and toss it in the trash can then. Amen? It's all true. But you've got to have faith. I'll tell you something. Faith is something that all of us struggle to have from time to time. Amen? But when it comes to the Word of God, you've got to have faith. Now, I'm just going to tell you where I'm at on it, and with God's grace is where I'm going to stay. I believe every word, every jot and tittle in that Bible. I can't explain to you why it says some of the things it says. I can't understand why Lord puts emphasis on certain things that I don't think he should put emphasis on. I think he should put the emphasis over here. That just shows you how utterly ridiculous I am and what a mess I am. But I know this, every single word in that Bible is absolutely true, every jot and tittle. I believe it with all my heart. And you know what? I receive that word with faith, mixed with faith. And until you learn to do the same thing, you'll never receive the word like God wants you to. If you have doubts about your Bible, if you have doubts about there being any mistakes in your Bible, you'll never receive it like God intends for you to receive it. Like I've told you before, I've learned this. If you will seek truth, God will always show you truth. If you say, Lord, show me the truth, God will show you truth. But if you're not interested in the truth, you better watch out. Because a person that's not interested in the truth, God has a tendency to allow them to believe a lie. And you know what? Everybody I've ever met that claims that they know the truth has some scripture to back it up. Better take it out of context. You realize the devil did use scripture when he tempted the Lord in the wilderness, right? He used scripture. He used the line here and line there, but he used it out of context. And there are a lot of people today that aren't interested in truth. Do you think the devil's interested in truth? No, he's the father of lies. He's not interested in truth at all. And there are people today that's not interested in truth. If you want truth, God will give you truth. If you receive the truth as the words of God, not the words of men, received it mixed with faith, God will allow you to understand it. God will give you that. And God will help you to receive that word. We need to approach the Word of God with faith. We must believe that this is not the words of mere mortals, but of God. We must always approach this word with the attitude of God has a personal message for me this morning, and we must not only hear his words, but we must receive his words into our hearts. Now, we believe that the Bible is inspired, infallible word of God, and there are certain reasons why we believe that. First of all, we believe it because the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration. Now, we know that if it's given by inspiration of God, that it's God's very words, if it is scripture. And if it's not a scripture, according to this verse, then it's not God's very words. So we know we hold the Word of God here this morning. Amen? We know that. We know it also because of its drawing power. It draws people to Christ. Another way that we know the Bible is inspired is because it appeals to all kinds and all ages. Whether you're young, whether you're old. You know, something I thought about last night. Did you know, let's see, 1975, 2017, that would be what, 47? No, that's not right. 42. No, 41. 41 years ago tonight, I was saved. I was 10 years old, 1975. The week before Easter. The reason I know that is because I got baptized on Easter Sunday. I was saved. May I tell you, the Word of God drew me to Christ as a 10-year-old boy. I've also seen a man one time got saved. I was preaching in a sermon, and this man's wife had passed away, and his wife had prayed for years that her husband would get saved. For years. Had a church pray for years that her husband would get saved. Every time we'd give prayer requests, this woman would say, "Please pray for my husband for salvation." Well, one day she passed away. I did her funeral. And when I did her funeral, she told me before she died, because I was going to do it anyway, but she told me before she died, she said this. She goes, "Listen, Pastor, when you do my funeral, I want you to preach the gospel, and I mean I want you to let them have it." I said, "Amen, sister." She passed away. I got up and I preached the gospel. Her husband was sitting right there, and all the family. And after it was over with, we were having a reception, and the husband came up to me, and he said, "When's your next church service?" And I said, "Well, it'll be, you know, this coming Sunday." He goes, "Will you be preaching?" I said, "Yes, I'll be preaching." He goes, "I'll be there." The very next Sunday, I preach. And when I give the invitation, this 92-year-old man, the husband of this woman, walked the aisle and got saved. Amen. See, it can draw a 10-year-old boy. It can draw a 92-year-old man. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter who you are. The gospel is the power and the salvation. But you got to receive it. I wonder how long this man had been not receiving the Word of God. I mean, 92 years, long time, folks. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you received it? And if you haven't, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? It appeals to all kinds, all ages, all races, all classes. It doesn't matter. It appeals to everybody. It draws people in. But the question I have for you this morning is this. Can you take it when the Word of God is sometimes rough on you? How many of you know what I'm talking about? That sometimes the Word of God can be rough on you. You start reading that thing, and you know, I've been many nights. I come to the Word of God, and I say, "Okay." And I always do this. I say, "Lord, Lord, help me to understand. Lord, show me something. Lord, help me to learn." And sometimes I'll say, "Lord, show me a blessing." And I start to read, and I don't get a blessing at all. I get conviction. You know why? Because God knows more what I need than what Bob knows what I need. And sometimes the Word of God is kind of rough on us when we're reading it. Sometimes the Word of God is kind of rough on us when the preacher's preaching it too. Amen? Sometimes the Scriptures points right to us and you know, concerning our sins. And it's then that believers, for some reason, choose not to receive the Word of God. In other words, as long as everything is good and makes them feel good, they receive that great promises of God. Going to heaven one of these days. Amen. I'm going to see Jesus Christ one of these days. Amen. And so they receive all the good stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you're sitting down at a supper and you have that roast beef with the gravy on it. That, man, that stuff is just great. But then over here you have that bowl of broccoli. And mom comes up to you and says, "Now listen, you're going to eat that steak, that roast beef, but you're also going to eat that broccoli." And you're like, "Oh, I want the broccoli." So what you do is you put it on a plate, and like any true red-blooded American, you somehow mix it this way and mix it that way to where it looks like you've eaten some, but really all you've done is really spread around the plate. And you eat the meat and then try to claim that you actually ate the broccoli. But mom never fell for that, did she? No. You still had to eat the broccoli. You know, sometimes when it comes to the Word of God, we like all the blessings and we like all the promises of God, but when it comes to that conviction, we don't like that very much. We will receive all those promises. Oh, hang on to those promises. Those promises are mine. I'm going to claim those promises. But over here, when it comes to that conviction, we don't want to receive that as quick because that's pointing out a problem that we have. We have a problem called self-righteousness. And we don't want anybody telling us we're doing wrong. You know what the Bible says over in the book of James? In James 1:23 it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word of God and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Some people don't like what the word of God says sometimes, and the reason they don't like it is because they don't like looking in a mirror. They don't like for somebody to point out problems that they have. You know, you ever looked in a mirror and you saw those gray hairs that you wish wasn't there? You know how many women I have? Well, I can't say how many. Isn't it true that women take the tweezers and go, doink? Why? Because they look in the mirror and they see a gray hair there. They pull it out. Or sometimes I've seen women where they pull out their eyebrows or eyelashes or anywhere. They don't like what they see, so you try to get rid of it. Young people, they'll look in the mirror and they'll see pimples. Can't stand it. Can't stand it. Why? Because it's showing a blemish on them. May I tell you, the Bible is the same way. If there's something wrong in your life, it's going to point it out to you. And sometimes it's going to be a little rough on you. Amen? That's what happens. But you're still to receive it, even though it may not be exactly what you like. It doesn't do any good to get mad at the mirror when it shows you something that's wrong. And it doesn't do you any good to get mad at the Word of God when it points out something wrong. And it sure doesn't do you any good to get mad at the preacher when he preaches something that you think that I'm preaching, you know, to you or about something that I know about you. Listen, when I get up here and preach, honestly, I'm not thinking about anybody or anybody's situation at all. I'm just preaching what the Word of God has to say to me. That's all I'm preaching about. But sometimes people get mad over that. The bottom line is this. I don't read other people's mail. I don't go into your heart and thoughts. I don't know anything about those things. But God always has a way of driving a point home to us through His Word. It's like the poem that goes like this. My pastor shapes his sermons from A to final Z in clear and forthright language and aims them straight at me. And when he gets to preaching, I look around to see if there might be another deserving more than me. But every soul looks saintly, their hearts to heaven turn, while I in my conviction can only sit and squirm. You know, I've often wondered if I should miss a day, would he without his target have anything to say? Listen, folks, there's no reason to get mad at the mirror, get mad at the pimple, or even get mad at the wrinkle. What I'm trying to say is don't get mad when the Bible points out something about your life and the faults that you have. Just do something about it and correct those things. Receive the Word of God when it's preached to you. But you know, many today, they refuse to accept the Bible's perspective of their lives. That's the way some Christians are today. They see someone else's faults mentioned in Scripture, but they refuse to accept it when it comes to their own. We don't pay a doctor to be honest and then tell us the truth. In other words, when we pay a doctor, we don't pay him to tell us what we want to hear. We pay him to tell us what's wrong. Amen? Now, listen. If you go to the doctor and say, "Now listen, whatever the truth is, whatever you do, don't tell me. You only tell me that I'm healthy." Then why are you wasting your time to go to the doctor? Amen? You pay the doctor to tell you the truth. Do you want God to tell you the truth? A lot of Christians don't. A lot of Christians don't want to hear it. But God is truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Listen, you know what many Christians do? When the truth is pointed out to them, they'll either stop coming to church or they'll close their Bible and quit reading it. You know why? Because they know that Jesus isn't going to lie to them. So it's better just to close the book and pretend it ain't there. That's a person that won't receive the Word of God. We're to receive it regardless of what it says. And when it says something that may be hard on us, we're to receive it. We're to receive it because the Word of God keeps us clean, according to Ephesians chapter 5. So the first reason why those people at Berea, more of those people got saved, more of those people did right, more of those people were noble than those at Thessalonica is because they received the Word of God. Another word I want you to notice here is not only the word received, But notice the second word there, and it says the word readiness. Readiness. In Acts chapter 17, look at verse 11 again. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. In other words, they were eager to hear the word of God. They were ready to hear it. These folks looked forward to hearing the word of God. And one of the things I pray about when it comes to this church is that everybody would get to where they're looking forward to reading the word of God, to where you love the word of God, to where you want to read it and want to hear it preached more and more. And I'll tell you this, folks, the more you read it, the more you hear it preached, the more you study it, the more you're going to want more and more and more. A person today is not interested in reading their Bible, doesn't spend a lot of time reading their Bible. But a person today who loves the Word of God is the one who stays in it. And listen, what is it in life that you're most eager to do? I mean, these folks at Berea, they were eager to hear the Word of God. Maybe you're eager this morning to spend time with family, or maybe this week when it warms up and the snow melts off, maybe to fire up the barbecue. Maybe that's what you're eager about. And there's nothing wrong with being eager over those things. But if we're growing in Christ, we should have an eagerness to hear His words. We should long to hear His voice and hang on every word of the Bible, because those are His words. You know, I could tell you, when you come to church, if you're really looking forward to God's words. You say, well, how's that? Well, by head shakes, amens, stuff like that. You say, well, I'm tired, I don't want to give an amen. Okay, I'll amen myself. But the truth of the matter is, listen, I figure if you're here this morning that you probably came here because you wanted to hear the Word of God preached. Amen? That's good. That's good. That's the kind of way the Bereans were. Therefore, they were eager to hear it, and they received it. So we have the Bereans received the Word of God. They also received it with a readiness of mind. And then the third word I want you to notice is verse 11 again. And that word is daily. Verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, the Bereans searched the scriptures to make sure that what they were being told was the truth. And remember, when Paul first came to Berea, all these people were unsaved people. And when Paul started expounding scriptures to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't do what a lot of people do today. They didn't say, well, I hear what you're saying, you know, about trusting Jesus, but I believe if I just try to be a good person and try to do the best that I can. No, see, they didn't do that. You see, they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were true. They just didn't take the pastor at his word or the preacher at his word and say, well, now what he says has to be true, because after all, he's the preacher. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just called to be a preacher. You're called to do whatever God called you to do. We're both called to do something, amen? And just because I'm called to be a preacher doesn't make me the know-it-all of the Bible. That's not it at all. But a lot of people think that. You know how many people tell me, I believe that. Well, why do you believe that? Well, so-and-so preached it, and he wouldn't lie about it. Well, listen, I'm not interested in what so-and-so preached. I'm interested in what the Word of God says. And too many people today are basing what they believe based on some preacher that they heard preach in the past, and they think it must be the truth because he said it. That's not it at all. It's only truth if God says it. And so, you know, there are a lot of people today that say, well, if you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, but that's not the way it was at Berea. They didn't count what they had been taught by others as being truth. Instead, they searched the scriptures, and they searched them daily, to see if those things that Paul was preaching was true. And they understood that the only truth in the whole world are those scriptures. Sanctify them by truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible says that not only did they search those scriptures to see if those things were true, but they searched them daily. Did you know that according to medical science, this is going to shock you, but you know, according to medical science, some turtles can go 500 days without eating. 500 days. There are some fish that can go 1,000 days without eating. But you know, humans can only go a few days. Now, that's referring to the physical food, but it's the same way for us when it comes to spiritual food. Folks, the truth of the matter is, as Christians, we must be fed. We think that we can go a long time without spiritual food, but you must be fed. Why? Babies got to be fed before they grow. Amen? I mean, you can't just stop being a baby and expect them to grow to be an adult. It's not going to happen. That's physical. But spiritually, the moment you were saved, you're a baby Christian, and you should be growing. You can't grow unless you're being fed. Amen? And believe it or not, listen, just coming to church every Sunday for an hour or 2 hours isn't enough. What if you only ate 4 meals a week? Think about that. What if you only ate 2 meals a week? Now, you come to church this Sunday and you're here, sitting here, and you get preached to for about a couple of hours. You get some teaching, get some preaching in. You say, amen. Got spiritually fed today. But then you don't do anything else the rest of the week and come back in next Sunday. What if you ate physically like that? I'm going to eat Sunday breakfast. I'm going to eat Sunday lunch. I'm not going to eat anything else till next Sunday. Now, for some of us, that would probably work for a little while. Probably needs to be done. But would that be healthy? No, it wouldn't. But we think it is. We think that we're doing ourselves some great favor. We think we're doing God some great favor. We think that we're real spiritual Christians. But why? Because, well, we come to church on Sunday, but we don't do anything the rest of the week. No, listen. You are to do like the Berean said. You are to search those scriptures daily. Daily. Do you eat daily? Don't you at least eat breakfast, lunch, and supper daily? Well, have you ever thought that maybe that would be a good idea when it comes to the scriptures? And praying? I mean, think about this. If you're going to feed yourself spiritually, what if you read your Bible 3 times a day? What if you spent 90 minutes a day, 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night reading your Bible? You probably spend close to that in those 3 meals. Probably. A lot of people probably spend a whole lot more than that watching the TV. Amen? Mm-hmm. Search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. What am I saying? I'm saying this. We want to be more like the Bereans than the Thessalonians. Amen? I mean, the God's word itself said this. The Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they received the word of God. They searched the scriptures daily with a readiness of mind. They were more noble. Wouldn't you want God to look at you and think, he's more noble than a lot of Christians? May I tell you this, if you're doing what the Bereans are, you are doing more noble than a lot of Christians are today. You realize there are a lot of Christians today who don't ever read their Bible. There are a lot of believers today, I believe they're saved, but they don't ever come to church. Some of them are in churches where the preacher gets up there and preaches, and he never preaches the gospel, ever. He preaches things like the real you on the inside, and you have a victory, you give yourself the victory if you'll just trust in the you on the inside. And he's preaching all that garbage, and people are flocking to him like nobody's business. You know what the problem is? They're not searching the scriptures daily to see if what he's preaching is so. He's not doing that. But the Lord says those are Bereans. A lot more noble than those Thessalonians. So I'm going to ask you this morning, which one would you rather be like? Those Bereans? Don't you know that pleased the Lord a whole lot more? Hey, even more people got saved over in Berea. Don't you know it pleased God a whole lot more? What a great thing to say. Do you realize that word of God is going to be forever and ever and ever? It's preserved forever. 1 billion years from now, you know what you're going to have? You're still going to have that verse right there. And what a thing to be recorded in God's word to say the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Which one do you want to be like this morning? You want to be a Berean? Or you want to be a Thessalonica or a Thessalonian? Which one do you want to be? You say, I want to be a Berean. So do I. Well, then you've got to do what they did. You've got to receive the word of God when it's preached to you. Receive it. Take it to heart. It's not my words. It's not the word of men. Don't receive it as the words of men. Receive it as the words of God. It's not, well, listen, folks, when I'm preaching to you, not my words. If you have a problem with it, take it up with the writer. It's his words. But receive those words. It's going to help you if you do. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you receive those words, and those words will save you because they're the power and the salvation. Not only must you receive those words, but you must receive them with a readiness of mind. When you come to church, look forward to hearing the preaching. When you go home, look forward to reading your Bible. You say, I'll look forward to it. Well, then just start. Start somewhere and start reading it. I wouldn't recommend Leviticus. Not to start with, anyway. But start reading it somewhere. God will have something for you, even if you start reading at Leviticus. God will have something for you. Receive it with a readiness of mind. And whatever you do, search the Scriptures daily. When you come to this church, when I preach something, you go, listen, the one thing I really appreciate about this church is when I'm preaching, I see people doing this number. Let me grab a pen, I'll show you. They're doing this number. I'm seeing that. That's good. And when I say, well, I'll tell you what, you don't have to turn over to this verse, but here's what it says. You know what I hear? I hear this. That's good. You know why? Because you're searching to see if it's true. Amen. I can make mistakes, but you're searching to see if it's true. And one thing that I guarantee you saw this morning is this. If you're going to be a Berean, you got to receive the Word of God with the readiness of mind, and you search them daily to see if those things are true. Are you willing to do that this morning? If you're not saved here this morning, are you willing to get saved? You've been told the truth. You've been told the gospel. It's the power into salvation. You'll not get saved by believing anything else than that gospel. You got to believe the gospel. But you got to receive it with the readiness of mind. Well, are you willing to do that if you're not saved this morning? And Christian, are you ready to become a Berean? Rather than just being the standard Christian of the day?